actually is called The Calling. And a lot of the things that you guys had shared in here, I haven't opened. I think that each and every single one of us has a purpose. And that's something that we can count on and depend on. And it's funny when we think about our life and what we're going through and what our responsibilities are. Because when we face it that way, we don't really see what our purpose is. We're not focused on our purpose or that calling as to why we're here. So I want to look back at that and the way that God spoke to Jeremiah is a great opener to this discussion. It said, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you as a prophet for the nations. And then I said, alas, O Lord of God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I am the deliverer, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I've appointed this day over the nations, the kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overflow, and to build and to plant." And the one thing that I love about this is the perspective of Jeremiah and understanding that he doesn't really see himself the way that God sees him. And I look around the table and I look at my own self and my own thoughts, and I know that I don't see myself the way God sees me, but I want to, all right? And I want you to, right? I want us all to see ourselves the way that God sees us, because he said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And when I send you forth, you speak my word and you will not fail, because it's me that's going with you. Amen. That's that calling. We understand the power of God being with us on a daily basis. Understand that he predestined us from the very beginning to have a purpose for our future, to have a purpose for his future, and to have a purpose for everyone else's future that we come into contact with, because we affect everyone that we touch, right? Everywhere we go, everything we do, we leave an impression behind. Now, I know that I've left lots of impressions that I wish that I could take back. Amen? The one thing I've figured out about that is I just don't do it again. The impressions I try to leave today are lasting impressions in faith. And that's the due diligence of making that right. There's some things that we've done in our lives that maybe somebody won't forgive. Maybe things can't be undone. But what we can do is we can push harder to move forward. And when I think about God saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Right? God has a purpose for us, a calling for us. But see, what we do with it on a worldly level is completely different. And then it breaks all the way back down. I got Proverbs chapter 29, or excuse me, Proverbs 29, 1 and 1, 20 through 33. And I want to show you, it says, wisdom warns us. It says, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. Fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof, which means repent quickly. She said, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you, because I called and you refused. I stretch out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress, anguishes comes upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not fear the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of the evil. And I want to just kind of focus in on this and pull just a couple things out. And Proverbs 29 says, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. And my example for this in the Bible is Romans chapter 1. He says to them, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which was known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen and been understood through what he has been made. So therefore, without excuse, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in speculation. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of an incorruptible God for an image of the form of a corruptible man. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their own hearts to impurity, to their bodies to be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie." And when I look at this, when I look at the wisdom in this, and trust me, this message comes back full circle, but we have to look at this part of it. We have to think about this part of it. How long of a life did I lead that I kept on pushing, I kept on pushing, I kept on pushing, and God's pricking away at me, and pricking away at me, and pricking away at me, and trying to get me back on track, but I'm pushing them back. I'm pushing them back because I'm not trying to get right now. I got these other responsibilities in my way that I need to get taken care of, and then I'm going to get right. And I can't tell you how many times I've spoke to people that had just that mentality, that the stop sign is lit up, it's red, it's flashing, it's 3 feet in front of you, but you got it in fourth gear. You know, and you just think, well, you know, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. Going to get it right. And what he said to the Romans then is, hey, I'm patient. I'm going to be there for you. I want to be there for you. But you are going to choose your own knowledge. Because the one thing that I think about in this is that God's not a gangster. He don't handle things the way we do. He's not. He's a gentleman. Right? So God's going to provide all the love in the world for us to hold on to. He's going to provide all the encouragement in the world for us to hold on to. And he's going to encourage us and support us and lead us to him always. But he's only always going to allow us to choose him. Amen? Right? Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you and I consecrated you and created you for a purpose. God gave each and every single one of us equally a purpose to live on this land, to manage and live in that relationship with him. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to force me to do it. Because if he forces me to do it, how can he say that I have free will? Amen? Right? Right? So I have to have the free will to face these temptations out here, to face these past mistakes in my past, to face all these challenges in front of me and still say, God, I choose you over that. Amen. I choose you over that because you have a purpose for me. You have a calling for me. I understand that. And he said that the unrighteousness man who suppresses truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And that's the one thing I like to think about is simply this. Ignorance is not innocence, right? I know a lot of us kind of treat God like we treat the doctor. I will not go to the doctor. Why? Because then I'm going to find out that I got a problem, right? But I'm going to live the next 6, 8, 9 months, years with my life with that problem just to find out that I don't got it, right? That's not gonna do anything either. The truth is, I would rather know right now where I'm defective. I would rather know right now what's wrong with me so I can face it. Amen? Face it now in front of me. I don't want to, like, so that's when he says, evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And I think about how the Holy Spirit pricks at us as we live our daily lives. Right? Yes or no? Every single one of us, we live our daily lives, we have an inner thought process of our consciousness that the Holy Spirit speaks to and speaks to us. And he tells us, don't be doing that. Don't go over there. Don't do this. Oh, you know you shouldn't be doing that. And sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. Amen? Amen. Right? But praise God that he's in there and he's pricking us and he's leading us and he's guiding us because he's trying to take us down that road in that right direction. He's trying to speak up. Wait a minute. You know where this goes. Amen. You know what you're risking here. It's, you know, keeping us on track. But these guys demanded that they were going to go in that same direction. They demanded that they weren't going to take that direction from God. And God said, well, there is a time that comes where if this is what they've chosen, they're a big boy, they're, you know, he's going to get what he wants. because I'm a gentleman. If this is what you want, you can have it. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of the scripture that we might have hope. So that when we learn and understand from the previous chapters that these guys went through this, and then we're sitting here and we're taking this in today, we'd be like, well, we can avoid that. Amen? Because the knowledge is here. And if the knowledge is already here and I can have it now, then why do I have to make their same mistakes? Amen? I want to get on that train and start moving forward. I don't want to go backwards like everybody I've read about. I want to move forward. Or well, all the backwards that you've read about me. I'm tired of that too. Amen? I'm ready to move forward. And it says it's through perseverance and the encouragement of the scripture that we might have hope. Jude 4:5 says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were unaware have marked out for condemnation ungodly persons who turn grace of God as licentiousness and deny our only master, the Lord Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know things once for all, that Lord, after saving people out of all the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who didn't believe. So it's common sense for me to understand that there's a time frame for me to get it right. And I need to take that seriously, because if this was written in the old times for me to learn about, and I can see what the end result was for them when they put their foot down there and just said, I'm going to do it my way, then God said, okay, do it your way. Amen. But I don't want that my way, because I know what my way is. My way is a lifetime of suffering and letting you down and unaccountability and lack of consistency that caused pain for everyone that ever met me. Yes or no? Right now, you guys may not have gone through that, all right? But I did. I know what that's like. Thinking that I'm driving and I know what's best, and everybody along the way that jumped in had their heart broken. But when God came into my life and spun me around and put me back on track, he put all that back together. Now, I still am challenged from time to time, obviously, but at the end of the day, I'm not just out here ripping everybody's heart out. Amen? I think that some of you guys, the testament to your faith, that when God comes in, he activates that love of God in your life, it almost takes away the ability to go that route anymore. You're so set on moving forward and living in that love that you cannot go down that route. Romans 9:15-16 says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on those that I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it doesn't depend on the man who runs, but the God that has mercy. So it's like, I'm chosen you, Moses, because you're Moses. Chosen you because of my divine grace. So then the rest of the mercy is he desires, and he hardens who he desires. When you think about this, and Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, remember him. Before the silver cord is broken, the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher at the wheel is shattered, and the wheel of the cistern is crushed, then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's a hardcore verse to think about. And I praise God today for all of us and our hunger for him and being able to be in a place where we're seeking him, you know? Because ultimately, we all could have chosen to do something different tonight. We all could have did our own thing, but we didn't. There was a calling for us to get together and honor God. It's for the sole purpose as to why we come, is to generate and grow our friendship and commitment to God so that we can then share our purpose with others. Amen? Because we're recharging. We're together as one family unit. And this is such an important reminder for all the people that we're working with out there in the field who just simply aren't taking it. Amen? They're just not taking it. You're working on them. You're working on them. You're working on them. Some of them been months. Some of them that I've been working on, I've been working on for years. And I think about this when he says, remember him before the silver cord is broken. That's the lifeline. That's the lifeline, that there's a timeline on me. There's not a timeline on God, but if anybody else hasn't figured this out, I'm fragile. Amen? I know this. Now, there's a point in time in my life that I thought there was nothing ever that could defeat me, that I was eternal. I lived my life every day like I couldn't even be injured. But I realized that that's a falsity. Amen? I'm frail. I'm weak. I got feelings. I make mistakes. Right? I'm just this human guy that needs the love of God in my life in order to succeed. And I think about, do I want that for myself? In 2 Peter, he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise as some kind of slowness, but is patient towards you, wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He says, there's only so much time when I think about this. So he's being patient with me. And I praise God that he is patient in the way that he's patient. I think that we even feel that way sometimes when we're in the victim stance. Those of us that have been victimized in the past by individuals, we think to ourselves, we need to get even with that guy. I wish somebody else would get even with that guy. Amen. We think that. We feel that way. But in reality, I was that guy. And God was patient with me. Amen. And since he was patient with me in my 7,653 occurrences of transgressions, shouldn't I be patient with that one individual that I still won't let go? Right? Amen? If God has a scroll list on forgiveness that he's put on me, but I can't forgive that one person for that one thing, that don't seem right, does it? Right? And he says that back in Matthew. He said, you know, before you come to the altar and pray, if you're holding something against somebody, you know, go back and forgive that person and then come back and give your gift so that we're all clean. He said, never let the sun go down on your anger. And and we talked about that verse last week, didn't we? And what he was saying was that it doesn't benefit us to go to sleep with a grudge. Because when we hold in that anger, we hold in that unforgiveness, we hold in that frustration, we take that to bed with us, we're shoving that down. When in reality, what we need to do is we need to put that on the table and get it out and let it go so that we can forgive all of those and that we go to bed at peace. Amen? Because God's in control. Remember, God's in control of everything. He's so much better, stronger, greater than I am. He's going to do everything better than me. So why can't I just trust him, God? Here is all of the pain that I've been holding on to forever. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to trust that you're going to deal with that. So that I can now focus on your good things in my life. Amen? Because before that, all I can see is this. Right? I hate this job. I hate that person. I hate that person. I hate my car. I hate. But I can pull this hate out and give it to God and leave it there. Amen. Another thing we like to do is let 3 weeks go and be like, well, I'm going to need that back. Right? I haven't seen anything happen recently. I'm going to make it happen on my own. You know, I'm going to need that back, God. But see, part of that is me trusting God to know that he's going to deal with that in my life. Know that the right thing to do is to leave it in his hands so he can focus on my decrepitness. Amen. Psalm 144:5 says, how blessed are the people who are situated, how blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And what he's saying is situated in position. And we talked about positioning maybe a year ago. We went through a series about positioning and understanding that God has created every single thing for a purpose. And when we're in that position, we're going to catch that ball every time. Amen. When you get in that position, the play runs right, and God throws that ball, you're there to catch that ball. You're going to catch that ball. You're going to run with it every single time. But in my life, if I'm out of position, I can't catch that ball. I can't catch that opportunity that's coming my way. So if I wake up today and I know what God's directive is for my life, and I'm living that directive for my life, and God throws that ball, I'm there to catch it. Amen. But if I wake up today and I'm in that personal, you know, whatever it is that's catching me up, my addiction, my lack of forgiveness, my frustration, my temptations, my inability to focus or move forward, and God throws that ball, I'm not in the field. I can't catch it because I'm out here feeling sorry for myself. Amen. I got to think about being in position. How am I going to be in position? I'm going to wake up today. I'm going to walk that walk. Amen. No more talk. We've had lots of talk. Many of us are very good at talk. But no more talk. We need to walk the walk now. Amen. God's given us the information. He's given us a group of people to hold on to. He's provided directives in our life. Now when we learn that, the light bulb goes off, we apply it. Amen. And when you take that application of God's word and will into your life, that's when you begin to flourish. That's when you can be in position. Being in position is very important for moving forward, because a lot of times simply not moving forward is enough to hold us back. We sit here and we measure ourselves and we review our progress and we look and we say, well, I haven't moved forward. I'm not moving forward. Next thing you know, this feeling comes over us and we what is it? We're consumed by this feeling that we don't feel like we move forward. But it's God in us that's providing that way. Amen. And I have faith in God that He's cutting out that path for me. Then I just need to do my due diligence with where I'm at. Amen. I don't need to open up my eyes and say, well, I'm not where I want to be. This is insufficient. I'm unhappy, blah, 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 blah. And let any of that tear me down. Because in reality, I'm riding with God. If I'm riding with God, it don't matter where I'm at or what I got. I'm moving forward in His plan. Amen. Remember, He knew me before He knew me, right? Amen. Before I knew me. He knew me before I knew me. That's a fact, right? He said, in the womb, I formed you. I have a purpose for you. Amen. Right? So He has that purpose. So all I need to do is stay in that good relationship, that good graces with God. Right? And let Him handle that. Matthew 20, 12, 20 says, battered reed He will not break off, and a smoldering wick He will not gut out until He leads justice to victory, and in His names the Gentiles will have hope. What's He saying? The battered reed and the smoldering wick He will not cut off. What did He talk about in the verse previous? He said, the Lord is patient with you, not counting those who count slowness as patience, but is patient towards you, wishing for all to come to repentance. But He just comes back here and He says, a battered reed and a smoldering wick He won't knock out. If you got that hope in you right now, if you got that faith in you right now, if it's this big and you're feeding that faith, God's not going to put it out. Amen. He's going to keep it going. So it's our job to hold on to that little bit of faith, that little bit of hope that we have in our life, and allow Him to flourish that, because He's not going to put it out. Amen? If we got that should be hope for us right now. And that if I have any hope at all in me, that to know that God is patient with me, He's not going to put me out. That He's going to grab me and lead me to justice and victory, and in His name, the Gentiles will have hope. We'll have hope. How many of you guys are tired of living your life without hope? It says right here in the verse, in Christ's name, we will have hope. So if I don't have hope today, maybe I'm not putting myself close enough to Christ. Amen? Right? Right? Because it's in His name I'm going to have hope. I need hope in my life. You guys know what I do every day. I got to have a lot of hope. I get violent sometimes. Some of the people I deal with, I'd just rather not explain it. But we got to have hope. And First John, he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What we talk about last week, faith, that right now faith in my life that protects me from temptation, that even if He does not faith, meaning that no matter how this plays out, I'm walking the walk. No matter what. And that's what he said. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know what you feel like is come against you. But he says right here clearly, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Amen. That's a powerful message. Some of us, you know, we're struggling with our houses. Some of us are struggling with our occupations. Some of us are struggling with our own thoughts today. Amen? I know for a fact that in my own life, I was an absolute ticking time bomb. Absolute. But nobody knew the timer. I didn't know the timer. This timer could be set for 6 days, 6 months, 3 years. I don't know what the longest run was without God that I had that I thought that I was making progress, but all of them blew up. Amen? I know for a fact that every single one of those scenarios crashed and burned because I relied on Ben and not God. And I can assure you, all the men that have years in their faith can say that when God was in their life and when God came in, that's when security came. Because I myself do not have the ability to override myself. I am my worst enemy, hands down. I have ran into many, many adversaries over the course of these 41 years, short years, right? But I can assure you, I am the worst adversary of myself, hands down. And nothing can defeat me except the love of God. Amen? So you want to grab onto that faith that overcomes the world. You want to grab onto those things that overcome challenges and addictions and defeat. That it's faith in God that has that cure. Amen? That's the key. Second Peter, he says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ will abundantly be supplied to you. Abundantly be supplied to you. And I love this promise. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as, say that, as long as, you practice the faith in these things, you will never stumble. So he's telling me right now, if you choose me, if you accept me, if you walk with me, I will take you to new places. I will get you to new things as long as you do these things. Amen? Right? That doesn't give me the right to go back after my dirty laundry. I got to let it go. Amen? It's dirty anyway. It's time to let it go. I'm ready for new things. Right? Are you guys ready for new things in your life, better things in your life? And more important than that, what do we do with it then? See, in Ephesians, he says, for this reason, he says, awaken, sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But not on you, but in you. Because when you have the power of Christ within, now you're ready to bless everyone else. Because the sole purpose of our life being here is to share the love of God. That's it. That's the calling. What's the calling? God came into my life and changed my life in a way that it can be just indescribable. And the only way that I know to get this to you is to give it to you so that he can do that with you as well. Because I can't. But he did it for me. Amen. That's the calling. Sharing that amazing love of God. Romans 11:29. So for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, will never be withdrawn in him. For just as you were once disobedient to the God, now shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient because the mercy has been shown to you. They also may have been shown mercy, for God has shut up in all disobedience and that he has shown mercy to all. So he called to you, mercy to you, so that you then can share his mercy with others, so that he can share his mercy with others. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Who said one person can't change the world? Amen? I disagree. I disagree. How many people does he know? Does he know? Does he know? Does she know? Does she know? How many people do you guys know? Do you understand the theory of 6 degrees of separation? The argument and theory of 6 degrees of separation is that I know somebody who knows 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 anybody. Amen? So, if I take this principle in my life where God's come in my life and changed my life and I share that with everybody I know, one person can change the world. Amen? You understand it in that theory? And if God's in control of doing this, who's to say that he can't run you into the people you need to run into? If God's in control of this, who's to say that they can't put somebody in your path for you to share that love? I know many points of times in my life that I've said where I didn't help somebody and I'm driving, and I think, man, you better turn around. You better, what if God put him in your path right now? Right? You know, the guy that's standing outside Burger King, you don't know if he's got a Lexus. He's got a sign. He wants 65 cents. He might make more money than I do, but at the end of the day, what's does it hurt me to give him a dollar? Right? And I'm going to drive on by with my window up. Maybe that is the real, only genuine one out there needing money. And I drove by. Amen? What if God put me in position to give somebody some advice, but I was too busy with my business and I couldn't call him back, didn't get to him, and then that guy went off? You know, how many times is God putting people in our lives for us to touch them and bless them and benefit them, and we keep on going because our agenda is too important? I don't want that. Amen? I don't want that for any of us, because of the sole purpose is that I have been shown mercy, so now I must show mercy to everyone else. My close is in Timothy here for you guys. I love this verse, 2 Timothy 2:24-26. The calling. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Whoops. I'm going to read that one again to me, and I want one of you guys to call me this week and remind me of this verse. I'm going to start over now. He's, 2 Timothy 2:24-26. He said, the Lord's bondservant must be not quarrelsome, be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Amen. with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So it's like all of that hate and all that frustration, all that pain in the past of all the people you ran into are suffering too. Amen? They're in that snare. They're in that trap. And it's us with the ability to love, to show the love that no other world can show, because it's not the world's love. It's God's love. Amen? 1 John 4:8, God is love. Right? The ultimate thing that we can do is stay in that calling and mind ourselves and continue to share. And I promise you guys one thing. The more you love, the more you do for others, the better you will feel. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.